Okay, let me just pray. Lord, we all know the parable of the feeding of the 5,000, and we know it so well that sometimes we don't pick up all that you're trying to teach us. So teach us new things, we pray this morning, and open our hearts to receive your word, and may it bear fruit in our lives, we pray. Amen. So welcome. It's as we've mentioned, it's our all age service, so we don't have our children's ministry, but we have a shorter and a hopefully more visual and interactive sermon, so we can all take something away from today. I just wanted to remind us from last week, we looked at this parable about the mustard seed that grows into the largest of all the garden plants, and it provides shade for the bird. And so we talked about, we want to be a seed indenture that grows. We want to stay humble. We don't grow into the largest tree in the land. We grow into the largest tree in the garden, the largest bush in the garden. And we said Datchet and the surrounds is our garden. We want to be a church that's growing and humble in this community. And we want to provide shade. We want to provide blessing to others through our prayers and also through our ministry. We talked a bit about our values as well. We had done that exercise and we had these values. We want to grow in our faith. We want to love one another deeply. And we want to bless our community and share the gospel. So if people say to you, well, what's Datchet about? Well, it's growing. We want to grow in our faith. We want to love one another. And we want to bless our community and share the gospel. And then we also talked about our vision. And our vision came out of this idea that Jesus said, if you plant the seed in good soil, it will grow and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. And we want to sow God's word at Datchet through our preaching, through our lives, through our personal devotions. And we want to pray that that word gets multiplied to 30 members. We have 17 or 16 now, I believe. We want to almost double our membership. We have a congregation. If everybody came, we could be close to 40. We want to see that grow and some vibrant services taking place here to 60. But we also want to increase the visitors that use our building each week to 100 a week. So that seems like Wellbeing Wednesday, if we can get a Pickles off the ground, the parent and toddler group, other ways that we can get people using our facility. So we shared about that last week. I'm just refreshing us because some people weren't here last week and some of us might have been asleep last week. So we just want to make sure we're all getting it. In February, if you drove past the church, you saw these daffodils. They were planted by Sue's mum. And they are a reminder to me that we are not to become weary in doing good, because in proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And so it's a visual picture to us as a church. If we keep doing good, we will reap a harvest. We don't know what that harvest will look like, but we are promised we will reap a harvest. So that's a little bit of what we shared about last week. A few weeks ago, I talked about Donald Trump. I know we shouldn't mention him in church, but he came out with his Bible. He made a lot of money, the Donald Trump signed Bible. And I reminded us that as we're going through Mark's gospel, Jesus is almost signing himself, I am God, on every page. Right at the beginning of Mark, it's prepare the way for the Lord. Jesus is compared to the Lord in Isaiah 43. Jesus claims to forgive sins in chapter 2. They know only God can forgive sins. Jesus knows what people are thinking. Amos says only God knows what people are thinking. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, and he has authority. Daniel talks about the Son of Man who has authority. He sees him on the throne. Jesus forgives and heals. Psalm 103 says, God forgives and heals. Jesus heals and raises from the dead. Deuteronomy reminds us that God is a God who heals and God is a God who gives life. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's in Mark 2. Everybody figures it out. God gave the Sabbath. And so Jesus is saying, I am God. So these are different ways. And then Jesus, we saw a couple of weeks ago, he speaks and a man is instantly healed. And it reminds us in Psalm about God's word heals us. It reminds us in Genesis, God spoke and it was good. It reminds us of Exodus, where God said to Moses, put your hand in, he comes out and he's got terrible leprosy. And then God says, put it in again. And he takes it out. And it says, the flesh is instantly restored. And so we're supposed to be thinking about that. This morning we're looking at Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I like this picture because it reminds us, I don't think the video did enough, it reminds us of a great crowd of 5,000 men. And there was probably even more women and children besides them. And so it was a great crowd. And I think Jesus uses this to show us, firstly, he is the God who provides. And so firstly, yes, he is the God who provides. And he will also look a bit in a minute that he is the God who is the Lord, my shepherd. So Jesus is the God who provides. There is some strong overlap here between Jesus providing and God providing for his people in the desert. So just to catch us up to the chapter, Jesus had sent out the apostles. So he sent them out on some ministry trips. They go out and they do ministry. John the Baptist has been killed by Herod. The apostles return. They have a debrief. They say to Jesus, wow, we did all this amazing ministry. We did too much ministry. Jesus says, let's go to a quiet place and have some rest. And we read, they went to a desolate place. There's a picture of Galilee. I would love to go and visit that, by the way. It looks good. So it reminds us that some parts of Galilee are quite sort of desolate. They're quite remote. And as we hear that word desolate, perhaps we're supposed to think about the Israelites in the desert in a remote place where they were for 40 years. And so there's this idea that there's a desolate place and we're supposed to think, God's people were in a desert place. There's some connection here. The next, I think, overlap is everyone was getting hungry. The disciples say, let's send everybody to Tesco to buy some food. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. We don't even have enough money to spend on that much bread. Basically, they say to Jesus, it's impossible to feed everyone. And Jesus says, give me some bread, give me some fish. And he feeds everyone. He does the impossible. And there's actually some overlap here to Numbers 11 and to Exodus 16, God giving the manna. But in Numbers 11, the people complain that they want more meat. They're hungry. God says, I'm going to provide meat for the 600,000 people here. And Moses says, would they have enough if flocks and herds, if all the flocks and herds of the world basically were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? Basically, Moses is saying to God, it's impossible. And what does God say? He basically says, watch me, see what I'll do. And God, we see, basically does the impossible. He feeds everyone. But God is also, I don't want to use the word mean, but they have annoyed God, so to speak. And so God says, I'm going to give them so much meat that it's going to come out their nostrils, basically. It's going to rot. It's going to be a big stench. And so God sends so many quails. If you read in Numbers 11, he sends so many quails that they're a meter deep for a day's walk. I mean, we like to go and stand in deep snow. It's fun and, make snowflakes or whatever you do. You fall back and do it. But Just imagine walking through quails for a day's walk in every direction. There's so much of it. And of course, they eat and they're filled, and then it all begins to rot. But we get the point. God provides so much for them. Nothing is impossible for God. So there's more than enough for everyone. Jesus blesses and breaks the bread and the fish, and he asks the disciples to distribute it. Everybody eats. There's 12 basketfuls of leftovers. God provides manna in the desert for 40 years, every single day till they come into the promised land. On Fridays, they get double, so they have enough for the Sabbath. But God provides, and it's a generous amount. When they want meat, God says, I'm going to give you a ridiculously large amount of meat. You can't even believe it. And so there's this massive overlap, and I've made a table. We all like tables, remember from school days. Feeding of the 5,000, they're in a desolate place. Israel are in the desert. The people are hungry. The Israelites are hungry. The disciples say it's impossible to feed everyone. Moses says it's impossible to feed everyone. Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 bread and fish. God miraculously provides manna. That's a type of bread and meat. There are 12 basketfuls left over. God provides enough manna for 40 years. There's so much meat that it makes the people sick. And so there's this massive overlap. And so we're supposed to think, big overlap. I think Jesus is the God of the Old Testament who provides for us. Jesus is the God who provides. There's another interesting overlap that points to Jesus as God. And it's this idea that Jesus is the Lord my shepherd of Psalm 23. And I hadn't picked it up till I read this commentary, and it totally makes sense. And so we'll follow through. Jesus, the good shepherd of Psalm 23. It says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He fed them, it says, spiritual food, and he fed them physically. And the psalm says they did not want, they had enough. It says he made people sit on the green grass. There's obviously some green grass. And Psalm 23 reminds me, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He says to the disciples at the beginning of this section, come with me to a quiet place and let's get some rest. And we read, he leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. Perhaps we weren't there on the day. Perhaps it was a very still day beside Lake Galilee. The water was completely still. It says they ate and they were all satisfied and there were abundant leftovers. And in the Psalm 23, it says he prepares a banqueting table and my cup overflows. There's more than enough provision. We're not going to look at it, but in the next section, so remember, he feeds the 5,000. He sends the disciples off in a boat in the middle of the night. So it's in the fourth watch. It's probably like 3 a.m. or something. They're in the middle of Lake Galilee. There's a storm. They're frightened. Jesus walks out to them. It probably also reflects this idea from Psalm 23, that even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, some versions say, even though I go through the darkness, you're with me. Jesus is with them in an impossible situation in the middle of the lake. They discover Jesus is there. And so there's this amazing overlap that we begin to see, that Jesus is not only the God who provides, I think he's pointing to those who'll see and saying, I am the good shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, of the Old Testament. So Mark is building up a picture about Jesus to give us a conclusion. So Mark says, make way for Jesus the Lord. Jesus forgives sins. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knows what people are thinking. Only God knows what people are thinking. Jesus is the Son of Man. That's from Daniel. Jesus forgives and heals. Only God really can forgive and heal. Jesus heals and raises from the dead. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. God is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus speaks and a man is instantly healed. Jesus is the God who provides. We look at the Old Testament. God is the God who provides. Jesus is the God who provides. Jesus is the Lord, my shepherd. Jesus is like the Lord is my shepherd of the Old Testament. And as Mark builds up this picture, are we beginning to see it? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? Do you see what I see? I'm going to make it even a little bit more clearer, put in some contrast. Jesus is God. He's building up this picture. We just read it, and the more we follow Jesus, the more we say to ourselves, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. So Jesus is the God who provides. We began with Abraham, and he was about to sacrifice his son. And God said, on this mountain, I will provide the offering. And Abraham went to where the temple in Jerusalem is now to sacrifice Isaac. And so maybe in the spot, or very close to the spot, where Abraham sacrificed his son, or about to sacrifice Isaac, Jesus dies on the cross for our sins. And we read about Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He's provided forgiveness. He's provided righteousness. He's provided adoption. Jesus shows us he provides all that we need for life, all that we need for godliness. If you see that, it's both there. He teaches them, there's a godliness bit. He provides food for life, the life bit. And so becoming a Christian is really trusting in Jesus and starting to follow him and learn from him and trust that he is the God who provides. And it's applicable to everything. So a week and a bit, we're going to Indonesia. But the flights are all messed up because of the Gulf War, and we're not sure we'll get our connection, and I'm supposed to go to an adoption ceremony for my son because he's getting adopted into an Indonesian family. Goodbye. We haven't told him there's no more inheritance now. You're adopted, you're in another. I'm supposed to that afternoon do a big presentation for churches in Indonesia. But I've had to lie in bed and say, God, I'm worried about all this, but you are the God who provides. I'm trusting in you that you'll provide a way, or if we get stuck, you'll provide an alternative. But also, Jesus is the Lord, my shepherd. And we're going to, as we look at this series, we're going to say to ourselves, will we follow Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, upwards, learning that he's God, until we get to the Mount of Transfiguration where he shows us fully, he becomes fully glorified? Will we follow Jesus, the good shepherd, downwards to the cross? The discipleship that Jesus wants involves, you know, humility and taking up our cross and following. Will we follow Jesus inwards in discipleship? We'll look at that next week. Inside out transformation. Will we follow Jesus outwards in mission and bless our community and share the gospel and be praying that the Lord will build his kingdom in this place? Two thoughts that come out of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is the God who provides. Jesus is the Lord, my shepherd. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, thank you. There's so much we can learn from this event, but there's two things. We see God providing in the Old Testament for his people, and we see you providing miraculously for your people. And we're supposed to say, wow, Jesus is the God of the Old Testament who provides. He's Jehovah Jireh. And so help us to put that deep into our hearts. But also we see there's a similarity, subtle but there, that Jesus is the Lord is my shepherd of the Old Testament. And we're supposed to say, wow, this is the Lord is my shepherd. I need to follow him and trust him. And so help us to follow you and trust you, I pray. Amen. We're going to close by standing and singing The Lord is My Shepherd, the Stuart Townend one. But what I want us to do when we sing it is to imagine we're there. We've been fed by Jesus. We've had our fill. There's 12 basketfuls left over. We've seen the similarities. The God who provides, the Lord is my shepherd. And we're supposed to sing it and say, I will trust in you alone. So let's stand and sing this together.